He's right. It is me. Hey, good morning to you. It's a good day to be on the radio. I just walked up to the front door of the radio station and I looked to the east. It's just so beautiful what happens to the sky when you start to get that very first light. And of course, what I thought of was, you know, God is the God of light. In Him there is no darkness. You know, that's just my analogy, I guess. Well, I mean, it is true. But we want to illuminate, you know, what we think about. You know, every human being is going to get plenty of opportunities to work on themselves. So what I would want for everyone is, I would want your body to stay in such good working order and for you to be so healthy that you can accomplish all the things that God has set in front of you to do. Oh my goodness, has He given you a work to do or what? Of course He has. There is a great purpose for your life, things that you're supposed to be doing that makes the world a better place. I mean, as long as we're here. Of course, what we're doing is, every day is training for the next life, isn't it? I had a nurse tell me recently, she said, Dr. Morgan, would you believe me? She's an emergency room nurse. She said, we get more people that come to the ER that actually have a fatty liver than people that are normal, meaning we don't get that many people that show up with a normal liver. That means most of the people that show up at the emergency room, they have a fatty liver. Okay? I think I've mentioned the research on this before, but I looked up at one point in time. What happens to you when you smoke a pack of cigarettes a day for 20 years? Well, one study demonstrates that it takes on average about 5.1 years off of your life. That means you don't live as long. That means your body's not in good working order. What that really means is it's causing disease and damage to your lungs and blood vessels and just so much more. I don't even have the capacity to list every toxic attribute of either consuming alcohol or smoking cigarettes or doing drugs. It's just all bad. It just steals your life, which means that makes Satan very, very happy. He's like rubbing his hands together now going, man, this is working out great. Anyway, but with a fatty liver, yeah, it can be, you can have so much fat jam crammed in your liver to where it can't even do its job anymore. It can't filter and remove and detoxify impurities from your body, which is what you want to do. Now, the liver does a whole lot more than that, but I'm just kind of illustrating one kind of simple idea that you need your filter, you know, your liver. You need it to be in tip-top shape today. Removing toxins and poisons, the venom from maybe drugs sometimes. But you got to have a liver if you want to have a good life. And so that kind of shocked me when the nurse told me that the majority of all people that come to the emergency room, and I don't even know all the reasons why they might come, but I could sure guess. They're very distressed. They got tummy pain, or they got a fever, or maybe they've had an injury. You know, just take your pick. There's probably a bunch that I left out. But they're showing up, and as a part of the examination process, they determine, oh my goodness, this person's got a fatty liver. Well, obviously, I want to provide solutions for you, or to you. Not just for you, but for everybody that you know and that you love. Why don't we make the world a better place? I mean, I want to do my part, but then again, all this is like a lot of fun. It's fun trying to do good things. Do I have room for improvement? Yeah, we know that. But then again, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's nobody that's perfect. Yes, our Lord Jesus was perfect, and I'm so thankful for that. There's a good reason to honor Him by going to church tomorrow and trying to draw near to Him, is because of all the great things that He endured and did so that we can have eternal life. All right. Now, this is a study that I find very interesting. I don't know if anybody else listening is going to find this intriguing, but I do. So I want you just to, I want you to think about this right here. Now, try to just push to the side any preconceived ideas that you may, you know, hold in your mind or your heart right now about this, but just think about this. That's all I want you to do. Just consider it. And maybe this does not apply directly to you, but then again, maybe you know somebody this will apply to. I could actually stand outside the emergency room and hand out this article to everybody that walks in the door, and there's a pretty good chance I'd be helping just about everybody walking in there. I'm sort of joking about that, but you get where I'm coming from. Okay, so here's, you want to hear the title of the article? Okay, here is the title of the article. Daily orange consumption reduces hepatic steatosis prevalence in patients with metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. And then there's a colon there. Then it says after the colon, exploratory outcomes of a randomized clinical trial. That's just a really wordy way to say, what are we going to do with all these people that got a fatty, fatty liver? You know, one of the simple ways I think of it is, what would happen if you had a sponge and the sponge was completely dry? Well, oh my goodness, the water that it could soak up. But what if we took that sponge and we soaked it in a quart of motor oil and the sponge was full of fat? Ain't going to work so good, is it? I don't want your liver being so jam-crammed full of fat that it cannot do its job to keep you in pretty good working order. Now, this study came from Italy. One of the names of the authors, just to prove to you it comes from, it's from Italy, is Gianluigi Gianelli. I don't know why I find that so comical. I know I don't speak Italian. Okay, here's a study right here. You'll have to forgive me. I'm very easily entertained this morning. Some mornings not so, but today my threshold is real low. I listened to information that I just thought was comical. Do you ever do that yourself? You just want to find humor in life, and that's a lot better than just being weighed down in the dumps and being like morose and depressed and down and just negative all the time. Are you ever around people like that, that it doesn't matter what words they're saying, it comes out of their mouth, it's always negative? They couldn't find anything positive to say if they wanted to. I talk to people like that very frequently. Just ignore it. I don't think that's what the Lord wants us doing, right? Okay. Here's a study. Italian biochemist affiliated with the National Institute of Gastroenterology. It's the name in Italian is Saverio De Bellis. Okay. I don't know what that means. What they did was they recruited 62 people that have what's called metabolic dysfunction associated steatotic liver disease. That's basically fatty liver. I know, I shouldn't even read those things because the average person, they don't care about that. So let's just say it this way. They got 62 people that had a fatty liver. Now, the question I'm going to pose to you is this. Do you think that was hard to find those people? The answer is no. Have you ever been to Jacksonville before? It would be pretty easy if we were walking around a very large store that had the letter W in the title. I think we could probably find them on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, never Saturday. No, it would be easy. Anyway, I'm going to skip all the rigmarole on that. Here's what they did. Here's the punchline, and I'll kind of flesh it out. So just I need you to be open-minded right here. Open up the aperture of the lens of your eye and your mind and your heart and just soak this stuff up and see if this is something that might be good for you. Okay, the Italians, What they did was they divided the test subjects that had fatty livers. I mean, thick, fat, swollen, jam cram full of fat livers, okay? These are living people, by the way. Maybe not for long, but they're still alive. What they did was they divided them into two groups. The subjects in the experimental group, they ate 400 grams of a peeled orange every single day for 4 weeks. So there's your study right there. What did they eat? They ate oranges. How long did they do it for? 4 weeks. That's a month. That's all they did. They didn't do it for 8 weeks or 12 weeks or for a year, just for a month. So that's equivalent to about 3 large oranges a day. Last time I went to the produce section, they had 3 large oranges there, just waiting for somebody to buy them. Now, usually the people with a fatty liver, they don't have that. What they have in their basket is a TV dinner, Coca-Cola, potato chips, or junk food. But it ain't oranges. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody have a food stamp card or EBT card, Lone Star card, you know, that electronic for food stamps, and load up on oranges or broccoli or sweet potatoes. Mm-mm. I've never seen that. A lot of processed, chemicalized junk food. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's a study. 4 weeks, 3 oranges a day. You're probably thinking, this is ridiculous. How does that apply to me? Okay, well, they go on to say, the researchers, that oranges contain a unique compound called a phenol. What is a phenol, you ask? Well, it's a flavonoid compound. For instance, one of the ones they identified in the oranges is one called hesperidin. Oh, okay. So they estimated that if you ate 3 oranges a day, you might get about 400 milligrams of a phenol or a flavonoid compound. The reason I'm bringing that up is maybe it has healing properties. Maybe it can change or influence how the body's able to heal or get back into good working order. That's really what everybody wants. No matter who walks in my door and sits down and visits with me, they're trying to get back into good working order. Now, what motivates them a lot of times is horrible symptoms. I wouldn't want to have a severe migraine every single day of my life. I think I'd be motivated. Another thing that would motivate me is if I had severe levels of nausea and vomiting and diarrhea and dizziness. All this stuff's untenable. How could a person show up to work every day and function on a high level when their body's in bad working order? So the bottom line is, either we are working toward a good, positive solution to the problem. That's really kind of what I have to do all day long, is what's the most positive thing that we can do to get you back to good? Sometimes people cooperate to help themselves. And there are, you know, times, you probably don't believe me, but people are not willing to help themselves. Okay, I'll leave it at that. So what they found is when they ate 3 oranges a day, they got 400 milligrams of hesperidin. Imagine that. I wonder why our Lord created the bioflavonoid hesperidin that comes from a living tree. I didn't say the tree alive, but the tree is alive. That's the only way you can grow an orange. So the researchers, they took a radical guess here. They took a chance that just maybe these phenols or that flavonoid called hesperidin, or maybe some other component in the orange they don't know anything about, which is probable, you know, that's likely also. What if eating oranges would help liver cells heal or function better or return back to good working order? Okay? So what they did was they used real oranges. They didn't use Hi-C orange flavored drink. They didn't use Sunny Delight. I know Sunny Delight looks like orange juice. They didn't even use orange juice. They used real living oranges. How about that? Let me tell you who the sponsor was of the study, because sometimes people are going to say, well, there you go. They're going to favor the sponsor. Well, it says the funding for this trial was provided by the Italian government, not by an organization of orange growers or the company called Minute Maid. They didn't do that. Okay, here's the results right here. Man, this is really good. And so this is one of the ways they did this right here. They measured, what they did was they did a very cheap, inexpensive test. Have you ever heard of a test called a comprehensive metabolic panel? It's a blood test. One component of that, or if you didn't do that one, you might do like a hepatic panel. That's just a panel of blood tests that measure enzymes that might point toward whether the liver is healthy and strong or if it's weak and diseased. Okay? There's one particular liver enzyme they looked at. It's called GGT. That stands for gamma glutamyl transferase. Okay? You want to make that enzyme become severely elevated? Well, alcohol can do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's always a point where alcohol, it is gonna wreck you. That's just the way it is. I don't know how many years that I have to do this. It doesn't matter if I've even done it for 1 month. Most likely, if I just worked 1 month at my office and I talked to, 40, 50, let's just say I talked to 200 people over the course of the month, and these are 200 unique individual people. It doesn't take a genius of a physician to figure out that alcohol destroys the human body. It does. I mean, you're playing with poison. I don't know. What would you say about alcohol as being good? Okay, yeah, I hear it all. Oh, well, it relaxes me. Oh, it's so awesome. I feel so calm and chill. Well, what if you're destroying your body? And that ruins your ability to work for a living and provide for your family. Do you ever think sometimes that's one of the things that a man is supposed to do? He's supposed to be a provider. And some men don't like that. And some men do like that. Some men have a bad attitude. Some men have a good attitude. Well, I want to have a good attitude. There's always room for improvement. Believe me, there's plenty of room for improvement with my attitude. But I want to. It really makes a difference if you want to. So, the concentration of the liver enzyme GGT decreased in the blood of the subjects in the orange group. And what that tells the researcher is, and I'm just quoting them, this is an indication of a reduced burden on the liver. Okay? Do you want a reduced burden on your liver? Okay? If you want to look up GGT, it's going to tell you that it's an enzyme found in the liver primarily. So if there's a problem with high GGT, you think there's a liver problem. Now, also, besides that, it can mean you got a clogged up bile duct. What if this is pointing toward that you got serious gallbladder problems? Or GGT can become elevated also if your pancreas is inflamed. Don't you think it would be good to pay attention to a blood test called GGT? So if you get a hepatic panel or a comprehensive metabolic panel, it'll be in there. Now, as a side note, study after study has demonstrated that there are very certain prescription drugs that have been shown to wreck the liver and wreck the gallbladder. One of them happens to be contraceptives, oral contraceptives. What's another way of saying that? Birth control pills. I bet you anything. No, I'll bet you a dollar that if I looked at the vast majority of women that go to the emergency room having a gallbladder attack that requires gallbladder surgery, the real culprit, or what's behind all that, is the severe damaging effect of birth control pills. Here's a different way that I want to say it. If you want to fail, if you want to have a stroke or a blood clot, and you're a young woman, or you want to have your gallbladder removed, taking birth control pills might be one way that you could get there. I mean, it is just not good to have bile, you know, become congested and blocking your bile duct. Okay, before and after the supplementation period, that means oranges, the Italians, they did a scan of the liver. Now, the scan type they used, I all I know is what I've read. I've never had this done to me, and I haven't heard of it being done to somebody, but it's called the Controlled Attenuation Parameter, or CAP. Basically, what they're doing is they're doing an ultrasound of the liver, and they're trying to find out how much fat accumulation is in the liver. So it's like a Polaroid picture of how much fat's in the liver, okay? And so when they do this test, they're trying to find out how clogged up is the liver with fat, or is the liver actually healing? Is the fat dissolving and going away? Now, according to the scans, no, I'm not going to read that to you. Here, listen to this right here. Okay, in the control group, that's the group of people with a fatty liver that didn't eat the 3 oranges a day for 4 weeks. There was no change. The scan showed that they were still just as full of so much fat that they had a fatty liver. But in the control group, lo and behold, 30% of the experimental test subjects, they no longer had a fatty liver. Now, I'm not trying to overpromise anything to you, but that's amazing. So if you got hepatitis, you got a fatty liver, you have cirrhosis, you got liver damage, why wouldn't you even consider that maybe that oranges might have some healing property? Yeah, I'm looking at the treatment group right here on the chart. To me, it looks incredible. It looks like there's at least a 50% improvement across the board. And this is just for 4 weeks. In my mind, I keep thinking, well, it takes a little bit longer than 30 days or 28 days for the liver to rejuvenate. So yeah, it takes longer than that. Let's give it months. And that's just reality. What if they did the oranges for 3 months? Man, this is just amazing. Okay, so they say here's what the researchers added at the very end of the study. They said there's a growing evidence that fruits rich in vitamins and phytochemicals like hesperidin and fiber can serve as adjunct therapy for preventing liver steatosis and metabolic dysfunction associated fatty liver. Why do they have to say adjunct? Why don't we say primary? Do y'all ever remember what the famous Greek said? His name was Hippocrates. He's kind of known as the father of medicine. He was just very... I would say, if I look at some of the things that Hippocrates had written, he was very skilled. The man was very, very smart. I might even call him a genius. He had an amazing mind. It's almost as if this was one of the reasons why he was placed on the earth, to make the world a better place, to help end suffering. You know what Hippocrates said a long time ago? Let thy food be thy medicine, and let thy medicine be thy food. Why don't you let that soak in for just a second? That's good. All right, the phone number here at the radio station is 903. And if you're curious, there is a phone line open. So if you do have a question and you want to ask me specifically about what to do to help yourself, well, I'm going to always revert to what is the healthiest way we can restore the body back to good working order again naturally. Yes, I'm very, very biased. I don't tell people to drink kerosene or moonshine to help their liver get better. That's a way to get it worse. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507 if you want to call me. And if not, I got another really good study. I came across this one also. Now this one, I wasn't looking for this. But, you know, when you come across information that's really, really good, you just want to share it with as many people as possible. So this might be the one thing that I mentioned this morning that you choose to share with all your friends at church tomorrow. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today? Are you there? You're going to have to turn the radio off in the background because I can hear it. You're on the air. This is Dr. Morgan. Good morning.
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I couldn't really make contact with him. But if you call the radio station, what you want to do is completely turn the radio off, and then I can get you right in. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
What is the number on TSH?
Okay, you're going to have to turn the radio off. Okay, I don't know what's going on here, but if you call the phone number, I will take your phone call gladly. But your job is to turn your radio off or whatever you're listening to, because if you don't do that, all I hear is just loud reverberation in my ears, and that just makes it kind of impossible. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
My name is Adelia, and I am a type 1 diabetic.
Okay.
I have gone from...
Yes, ma'am. I have no idea what's happening. I can still hear everything in the background. It may be it has nothing to do with you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hang up on you, ma'am. But it seemed like I lost the... We're going to try it again. This is going to be trial number 4. All right. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I just got disconnected. So my name is Adelia, and I'm a type 1 diabetic.
Yes, ma'am.
And... but I was diagnosed 2 years ago.
Yes, ma'am.
So I was diagnosed as an adult.
Yes. Are you still there?
And I have gone from living in like the 400s and 500s to...
Yes, ma'am. I have no idea what's going on at the radio station. See, this is one aspect. If you need someone to work on the computer or the control board, I would not be the one to do that. Now, there's other things that I'm very, very good at, but that ain't it. All right, so I don't know what's going on, but all I know is I just hear the other radio program that's been recorded, so... I have no idea. So sorry about that. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this study right here. And we'll pick it up later. So sorry, I never ever purposely want to hang up on somebody, especially someone that's so genuine and sweet like that last woman and the man was. But I want to be helpful. But I'll just have to put in a call to John Paul and Wendy and Randy and ask them if they can double check everything. Okay. This study, to me, is very, very unique, but I think it's worthy of your consideration. And because these things that I'm telling you, they're so simple. Anyone can do it. So, would you say that what you believe is extremely important? Well, of course it is. If you don't believe it's true, you're certainly not going to spend your energy doing it. If you believe that something's true... What that's going to do is that's going to lead you to take action. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Here's the title of the article right here. And lo and behold, and this comes from Italy also, but when it's translated in English, the title is High Serum. That means they're measuring the blood of a substance called monolaurin, and that comes from coconut oil. Is associated with a lower risk of COVID-19. And they say these are results from a prospective observational cohort study. And you're probably thinking, Dr. Morgan, is this really an Italian study? It was published in the International Journal of Molecular Sciences. And it is Italian because I'm going to read the names to you. There's about 30 researchers that have this name on the article. But one is Stelvio Tonello. I just like saying those words. How about the other author? Giuseppe Francisco Cascario. Or Mario Parisi. Here's a good female researcher name, Annalisa Ciocchetti. See, I was right. They are Italian. Okay. Back to the study. There is a substance that is called monolaurin. I'm going to spell it for you, just in case you want to know. M-O-N-O-L-A-U-R-I-N. Monolaurin. And so, guess where you find that? It's a metabolite of a fat molecule such as one could find from coconut oil. So when you walk into the grocery store and you walk down the aisle and you say, that looks like one big honking tub of white lard. Well, you might want to look at the label, because if it's below 68 degrees, it might actually be coconut oil. And they go on to write that fats are triglycerides. They consist of three strings, you know, fatty acids, that are attached to a small pin, linking pin, called glycerol. And here's what they're talking about. Monolaurin, which comes from coconut oil, consists of a glycerol globule to which lauric fatty acid is attached to. I don't want to go into all that. That's just too technical. Sometimes, against my better judgment, I start reading these technical things and I think, nobody wants to know that stuff. Okay, here's an article right here from Journal of Chiropractic Medicine. It says that monolaurin that comes from coconut oil, it's good at killing bacteria, okay? And it also has a strong antiviral effect. That comes from Food Research 2020, Volume 4. Now, what I want you to take away is monolaurin is a substance that comes from coconut oil, but it's able to penetrate the envelope of a virus, thus disabling the virus. Now, do you like that thought? Do you like the idea there's something that you could do to disable viruses from living in your body? Okay. There's actually more of them than there are of us. Viruses are everywhere. Well, during the corona crisis, doctors, you know, radical doctors, they probably have sometimes suggested using monolaurin or coconut oil against COVID. Now, obviously, they would be heavily criticized for that. And they'd say, what kind of a quack would recommend coconut oil? Don't you know we have ventilators and we have intensive... Of course, I'm being ridiculous. Here's a study right here. Researchers from the Università del Piemonte, they measured the concentration of monolaurin, you know, from coconut oil, in the blood of 1,000 nurses and doctors that were in the hospital. And if you're a nurse or a doctor in the hospital and there's COVID raging, you know, across the universe and everybody in the hospital is sick with COVID, I would say that they're pretty well continually exposed to the COVID virus, wouldn't you? So what they did was they just looked at the blood of 1,000 doctors and nurses in the hospital. Everybody's covered up with the coronavirus. Everybody's sick with it. And what they did was they followed the study participants for 6 months. And here's what they looked at. They recorded which of them got COVID and whether there was an association between the concentration of monolaurin and people getting sick with COVID, meaning the doctors or nurses. Did they get sick? You want to hear the results? Okay. To me, this is impressive. I am telling you, this is really impressive. In this study, the participants that had more, and this is just their unit of measurement, I apologize in advance. In the study, participants that had more than 0.5 micrograms of monolaurin per millimeter of blood, then the risk of COVID was significantly lower than participants that had less monolaurin. So, you already know what I'm saying. There may be a Goldilocks just right amount of coconut oil in your diet versus people that never consume coconut oil. You don't get monolaurin in the blood unless you got coconut oil. It said the group with relatively little monolaurin in the blood, the risk of COVID was more than a factor of 3 times greater than the group with relatively much. I don't know about you, but would you like to have a 300% greater, you know, risk of having COVID? Of course you wouldn't. Would you like to be 300% better off? Oh my goodness, yes. I can't show you the chart and the graph that I'm looking at, but what they're doing is one of the graphs, they're looking at, you know, timeline. They go up to 200 days. But they're looking at percentage of survival probability. You know what? I know what survival means. You know, black or white, up or down, in or out, living or dying. We want to survive. Nobody needs to get sick and die. Here's a conclusion. Higher serum monolaurin levels appear to be associated with a reduced risk of COVID-19, suggesting its potential as a protective dietary supplement against the COVID SARS-2 infection. That's what the Italians summarize. They say that monolaurin has been used on the market as a supplement for years. And yeah, that's true. You can go to the health food store. You can get a gel cap with coconut oil. I tried to look and find out, is it possible that monolaurin levels could be too high in the blood? I really couldn't find that. Now, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but I just couldn't find it. So, what is your takeaway? All right. The substance called monolaurin, it penetrates the envelope of the COVID SARS-2 virus and it disables it. Is that what you want? Yeah, it is. I promise you that's what you want. If you're sick and you can't breathe and your lungs are full of fluid and you're on a ventilator, you would never choose that. Oh, no. Mm-mm. You want to be able to go for a walk in the park and you want to be able to breathe. Oxygen is life. So what do we want? Look at what God has provided for you. He's given you monolaurin, and it comes from coconut oil. I don't know how I could make this situation more simple than that. Let's try the phone lines one more time. Good morning and welcome to the program.
I don't know how I could make this situation.
Hello?
I'm so sorry. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, but you've got...
Oh, I know. It's something here with the radio or the control board. I'm not doing it on purpose, I promise. Is there any way that you can just go ahead and talk over it?
I can hear, it's like a previous radio show in the background.
It is, and I don't know what. Nope, it's going right into this. I don't know what to do to change that.
So, Dr. Morgan, do you have any recommendations on how to treat seasonal allergies naturally or with some supplements?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Would you like to just hang up and let me just tell you? I'm sorry, I can hear all that background chatter. I wasn't trying to be mean to you, but okay, I don't have the article right in front of me, but probably one of the most common drugs that's ever been prescribed, you know, it's now over the counter. It's called Claritin. It's been used for a long time. It used to be by prescription only, but that's the whole purpose of Claritin. It's a histamine blocker. And what they do is they give it to somebody when they have red, itchy, watery eyes, your nose is running, maybe even your face is swollen, you're congested. I mean, have you ever sat down in a large group of people, like in church service, and people are just, you know, they just can't breathe. It's horrible. Well, I don't want you being miserable, and I don't want anybody you know and love being miserable. So what they did was, in one recent study, they compared ginger. Now, when I say ginger, if you go into the produce section of a grocery store, there's going to be on the outer edges of it where they kind of have a semi-cool, you know, area. That's where the ginger roots are found. Sometimes the ginger roots can look like just such interesting shapes. I've even seen some before that look like little bitty dolls or little bitty human beings, and I find that so intriguing. I just think, how amazing is what the very thing that God has made. But in the study with severe seasonal allergies, ginger worked every bit as good as Claritin. So there's a lot of ways you can do this. One way of approaching this is going to the grocery store, getting a good high quality fresh ginger root. I mean, the thing is totally alive, which means if you plant it in the ground, up would come a beautiful flower. You could put outside your bedroom window. You'd be glad you did. It's really pretty. I think they smell good. Honeybees would come to it, maybe make ginger honey for you in your beehive. But just ginger. One of the ways of doing this would be just to take like a cheese grater and or whatever grating device you have and just finely grate some fresh ginger root. You can grate it into a cup. And what you do is maybe a good spoonful. But once you have the fresh ginger root in the bottom of the cup, take your tea kettle, bring it to a boil, and just pour hot water over the ginger. Let it steep for about 10 minutes, and bingo, you're done. But you might even do that once or twice a day and see if it doesn't radically help improve the overreaction of your immune system. So that would be one definition of an allergy, is your body is overreacting to something that normally should be harmless. Does that sort of make sense? Oh, yes. The other day I was over at Frankston, and I had on some, just my work shoes. They're just rock ports, and I think these were kind of a blue color. You couldn't even tell they were blue after I walked across just a small section of property. They were like totally covered in so much dust and pollen. It was just unbelievable. The tires on my pickup truck turned yellow. That's how thick the pollen was. I remember the week before when I drove to Frankston, it was like there is a dust cloud over this valley near Frankston that was completely covered up with pollen. It was just incredible. It's like a dust storm, but it was really pollen. So pollen is supposed to be harmless. But if your immune system overreacts, and the net result is your immune system releases way too much histamine, you're going to have red, itchy, swollen eyes. Your nose is going to be running. You could literally just be miserable with just symptoms of horrible allergies. So I'm introducing ginger as one of the things that I'd like you to consider. Now, number two. I don't know that I'm going to go into this in great detail, but I want to suggest to you that the human body, you know, a cell, whether it's a muscle cell or a mucosal cell or a brain cell, you've got to have what are called omega-3 fatty acids. And so in my mind, people that have low levels of omega-3 fatty acids filling up their cell membranes of all the cells in the body, those are the people that are most vulnerable to allergies. Now, I haven't done a literature search. I'm not going to grab my phone and do it. But you've got to have omega-3 fatty acids. And since your body cannot make them, you're going to have to get them from the food that you eat. So here's one example. I know this grosses some people out because I get to look at everybody's face when I talk to them. And they just show such disapproval. The idea of eating seafood is just totally repulsive to some people. If you had, I don't get it, but then, you know, we're all unique, right? Some people love to eat salmon while caught off the coast of Alaska, or they like to eat halibut or cod or flounder. Well, if you had salmon, wouldn't that provide you with just a rich amount of what are called omega-3 fatty acids? So as a general rule, if I had a human being that was having horrible, horrible allergies year after year, what we might try doing, just for a short season, or for a while anyway, is just giving them cod liver oil, and then seeing if all of a sudden their immune system just stops overreacting severely to all the harmless things floating around the air, stuff called pollen. All right? Other studies demonstrate that if you lack sufficient amounts of vitamin C, that could actually contribute to this greatly. So for some people, all you have to do is just give them vitamin C and cod liver oil, and they don't have the seasonal allergies anymore. So we've got ginger, cod liver oil, vitamin C. Another substance that I think is very unique, but it's just as old as the beginning of time. Actually, What day were vegetables and plants created on the day of creation? That's day number... What day is that? I want to say day four. I'm probably wrong. I know there's a lot of Bible students out there. They're going to call me and say, nope, you got it wrong. It was day three. Anyway, please forgive me if I got that wrong. You know what? Maybe I should go through... No, let's go on. So there is a substance. Its precise name is, I think it's called Nigella sativa in the Latin, but it's really known as black cumin seed. Have you ever heard of black cumin seed? Sometimes if you're like in the store and you see what's called a substance called black seed oil, that would be the essential fatty acids that come from the black cumin seed. And there's a lot of cultures around the world. This is just part of their diet. They add it to food. It's a seasoning. You ever heard of black cumin? I know you've heard of cumin before, but this is called black cumin. But there are so many people that when they consume black cumin, it can greatly help improve their allergies. So just consider that. Does that make sense? You know, the other one, there is research on there's a tree called the ginkgo biloba tree. And the research is really quite impressive. If people take ginkgo biloba, they might actually have a generous, pleasing response to not having red, itchy, swollen, watery eyes and nose and face and sinuses draining down the back of their throat, making them hack and cough. And yes, allergies can lead to an infection. I mean, the immune system can only be strained for so long. So at least consider that. Now, if it were me, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about what you eat. What I really want is I want people to open up and have a variety of foods. If somebody says, the only thing that I'm willing to eat is Kraft macaroni and cheese, chicken nuggets, and Dr. Pepper, let me see, what else do they eat? Oh yeah, they eat endless amounts of candy and junk food. That's not what you call a diet that's going to support a healthy immune system. No, we want your immune system to be really, really functioning on a great level. Do you really want to have horrible allergies twice a year in the spring and the fall? No, you don't. This is where you've got to come to terms with, unless you eat foods that are actually good to help your body become stronger, you're probably not going to get there. So, you don't want to put things in your body that are a burden to the immune system. Now, what would be some examples of that? Well, there's one pretty obvious one. If you're choosing to eat a whole bunch of sugar, and when I say sugar, I'm really talking about refined sugar. I'm not really referencing if you had a bowl of blueberries or raspberries or strawberries in front of you. That doesn't even disturb me in the least, because I don't know that I've ever seen a patient or a human being begin to suffer. Now, I realize there may be a person out there that's truly allergic to the blueberry or allergic to strawberries. Yes, I get that. They should not eat those. Even if we can't figure out why that's the case, they still need to avoid the very thing that causes all these allergic symptoms, like hives or rashes, that sort of thing. But the little bit of sugar that's in a cherry or a strawberry, I really haven't found that to be totally toxic to the human body. I mean, there's other things in there. There's all sorts of compounds that help your immune system do a very, very good job of keeping you in good working order. Now, one thing I want to draw back on is a topic that I've discussed many times over the years, and I've done this for many, many years, but the difference between a person that dies of old age at age 62 compared to a person that lives to be 98 years old and they can still drive themselves to church and do their own yard work and garden and take care of themselves and go to Bible studies and book clubs or concerts or maybe more concerts, they have an immune system that works about 10% better. Now, just consider that for a moment. If you want to age gracefully, that means keep everything in good working order. That's the exact polar opposite of having one disease after the other. You don't want your organs and tissues and cells breaking down where disease forms. No, you want to keep your body in good working order. So the difference between a person that's 98 and they can still function and the person that's 62, their body's completely destroyed. It's already worn out. It's diseased. They're sick and they die. The body can just no longer heal. It's the immune system. This is what I want you to consider. The immune system works about 10% better in people that live a long time compared to people that don't live a long time. Are you with me on that? It really is in your best interest to be a really good steward and advocate of your health. I like it when people say, Dr. Morgan, I want to be healthy and strong, and I got lots of reasons. I've got young kids, I've got a wife, I've got a job, I've got to be in good working order. I can't afford to be sick and break down. You can't. Everybody knows that. This is not rocket science. I mean, I looked at the disability numbers the other day. Do you know how many people are on Social Security disability that are age, 20 to 29 years old? It's astronomical. All the people that are claiming, I can no longer function at work, they've got a brand new body, but it doesn't work right. Now, I'm not going to go into all the reasons why, but we need to do everything that we can to keep our bodies in good working order, and you're the only one that can do it. And a lot of times, it's because of your mindset. If you set your mind that you're going to do things that are good for yourself, that's a good starting point. Maybe another good starting point for some people is, I got a problem. Unless you can come to terms with the problem that you've got, and you know, I'm not making light of this, but maybe it's alcohol consumption. If you're consuming alcohol, the sooner that you come to terms with you are destroying yourself, the better. Am I going to apologize for that? No. Just like if you told me, I mean, really, this is ridiculous. If you're smoking 10 cigarettes a day, what do you think I'm going to tell you? Of course, that is not in your best interest. Now, I'll try to be nice about it. You don't have any business drinking a six-pack of Mountain Dews every day. That stuff is just toxic. See, that would be a recipe for having a life that is just horrible. You want to be exhausted all the time, never able really to reach your full potential. And you know what? I would say that about myself right now. There's no way I've come close to even scratching the surface on reaching my natural, God-given potential. Yes, it's God-given. God gives us a unique personality and an intelligence. It's our job to develop it. But every human being has strengths and they have weaknesses. And we want to help resolve some of those weaknesses the best we can. I mean, this is not a religion. Healthcare is not a religion to me. But it's your ticket. If your body is strong and radiant and healthy and you have the wherewithal to maintain the strength of your legs and your feet, well, then you can carry yourself. You can put on your shoes and you can visit the fatherless and you can take care of the needs of the widows, right? Isn't that from the book of James in the New Testament? Yeah, it is. And so if you avoid all the toxins and processed food, if you avoid the junk food, I think I had one person this week that when I examined them, they showed a horrific response to what's called aspartame and sucralose. Those are artificial sugars. But for that person, that is their poison. You've got to avoid that. I think another one showed a bad reaction to MSG. And of course, I think I asked them, well, what do you like to eat? And they're going, man, I eat fast food all the time. You know, my job is tough. And I get that. I mean, sometimes you're out of your element where you can't really, you're just so far away from home and your job is so demanding that maybe you really can't make great choices. And I get that. But you have to do the very best you can with what you got. Because I'm telling you right now, you do not want this to catch you. You don't want to wake up one day and say, oh my goodness, I'm 20 years old and I feel horrible all the time. And then you got all these other issues where you can't even leave the house because you're so afraid and you got so much anxiety. I didn't copy the article, but this morning, the article was the highest level of anxiety in human beings. There's a correlation between ultra-processed foods. Now, you realize when I mentioned an orange earlier, or if we talk about an avocado, hopefully we can find clean, suitable versions or organic versions of those that aren't covered with chemicals, and you would say, oh, this is what a real food looks like. I could actually crack open an egg. I got chickens in the backyard. I can crack open an egg. The yolk is like bright, blazing sunlight. I mean, don't y'all ever look at the sun when it comes up in the morning? It is amazing. It's like this brilliant ball of red-orange light that's glowing. It's just incredible. And also when the sun goes down, that's what the yolk of a chicken should look like. I'll never understand this, but there's a lot of people out there. They only eat egg whites. That is so wrong. Do you even understand? That's where the nutrient density of the egg is. It's in the yolk. So when you have a yolk that's all pale, like pale yellow, it doesn't have anything in it. But when it's like a blazing orange, bright burning sun going down, now that is one nutrient dense egg yolk. So how are you going to be healthy? You're going to have to put living nutrient dense food into your body. Are you with me on that? Yes, you gotta. This really is not rocket science, is it? And I'm so sorry that the control board is, for whatever reason, not working right. But all I got to do is just, I'll let Wendy know. Wendy is like on top of everything. I don't know if y'all know this about Wendy, but when a lot of times I leave to work before it's even 7 o'clock. I got to get there. I got stuff to do. There's things that I have to process. I have to think about it. I mean, don't you think it would be good if I was mentally prepared and I had, like, reviewed my charts before the day starts? I like it. I like thinking about that stuff all day long. Is there something that I missed? What about this? Is there a way we can make this person better? But Wendy is here. Always. Her and Randy. Their cars, they start early. You talk about striking while the iron's hot. Or how do they say it? The early bird gets a worm? Well, they're the early birds. I tease her all the time about that. Don't let her know I said that. She's not listening anyway. I tease her all the time, and when she sends me a text, I text back, wow, how come you weren't? I drove by the station at 3:30 this morning, a.m. How come you weren't there? Oh, I slept in late. It's just, she's so funny. Anyway, so if you don't want to have allergies, what we really got to do is we got to clean up your body. The cleaner your body is, the better your immune system works. But if your immune system is burdened by a bunch of sugar and junk food, well, good luck getting over the allergies. It's probably not going to happen. I don't want anybody having horrible allergies this time of year. But man, you are going to suffer big time. Why would you want that? It's really choices that you make. All these little bee choices about what you do. I talked to a person the other day. They drink 16 ounces of water a day and that's it. What else do you drink? Nothing. Well, how could you keep your kidneys and your liver and your brain in great working order when you're only drinking 16 ounces of water a day? That just doesn't even make sense. Anyway, it has been good to be with you this Saturday morning. I'm so sorry about the phone calls, but you know, that's out of my control. I can't do anything about it. But I can put in a call to Wendy, and they can like double test everything and make sure that all that reverberation and the other program goes away. Okay, you're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.